For those of you who have not been here for the last couple of weeks, this is the third of four sermons that I'm preaching in the Psalms, each around a particular question that is central to that particular psalm. The question today, or the statement, is God gives justice, turned into a question. From Psalm 82. The matter of justice as a concept, as a value, is a very interesting one in that what we believe to be justice is probably not a fixed matter. On the contrary, it is a fluid idea that depends in large part on where we are located, what space, what strata we occupy. It may be significantly affected by perspective and by priority. Justice for most of us has close ties to the idea of fairness. So what is fair? Fairness looks very different if it is something that you are primarily interested in claiming for yourself versus if it is something that you are primarily interested in offering to others, particularly those without the power to claim it for themselves. So let me talk about that a little bit and see what you think. If fairness or justice is something you are primarily interested in seeking for yourself, then the measure of all things fair has to do with questions like these. Did I get what I was promised, what I feel entitled to get? If no, then that wasn't fair. Were my interests protected? Were my interests prioritized? If no, then that wasn't fair. Did I gain or lose the advantage that I already had? If I lost my advantage, then that means that someone else gained the advantage, and how can that be fair to me? Did someone else get or receive something that I didn't get or receive? If yes, then I wasn't treated equally, was I? And how can that be fair? Did I suffer in some way? If so, then that's not fair, especially if I suffered and someone else didn't, or if I suffered so that someone else wouldn't. Justice, through that kind of lens, prioritizes what affects me over and against what affects someone else. My interests are primary, maybe even singular. Don't take from me what is mine. That's not fair. I understand why people think that way. There is an element of self-preservation involved, but there's also self-interest. If I have worked hard, why should others benefit before I do? If I have been a responsible citizen, why should others catch a break when they haven't been responsible? If I have paid my bills, why should I have to foot the bill for others? If I have access to what I want in terms of education or housing or employment, why should I have to worry about what others have access to? If I have paid my dues in terms of suffering, why should I be made to bear or even relieve the suffering of others? I made my choices. You make your choices. Let's each be responsible for our own decisions. Don't talk to me about systemic advantage or unfairness. I've had my own struggles. I don't feel advantaged. It's not my fault if others struggle, but how is it my responsibility either? What's fair is letting each one make their own way in the world. You get out of it what you put into it, right? Sure, you can have a piece of the pie. Just don't take a bite out of my piece. With that perspective, justice is a matter of whether or not the world is being fair to me. Or, to be even more honest about it, whether the world is favoring me. I might say I want fairness, but honestly, I want favor. So it's a matter of me making sure that things remain secured. My status, my advantage, my safety, the fruits of my labors, my place in the world, and then I call that fairness. The problem with that way of defining fairness is that it is fundamentally selfish. It is fundamentally self-centered. And maybe even more importantly, it operates from a foundation of fear and mistrust. It assumes that if you gain, I'll lose. It assumes that if I share, you'll take advantage. If I admit that you are of value, that you have needs, that you deserve your humanity, then somehow I may be diminished. And the scales can never balance out. Peter Marty, writing in one of his From the Publisher columns in the Christian Century, calls it zero-sum living. Marty writes, "Zero-sum game theory, in which one party's gain requires another party's loss, is not a theory to live by. The scorekeeping and power displays inherent in this win or lose approach are uninspiring at best and vengeful at worst. There's nothing lovely in thinking that my happiness requires someone else to be unhappy, or that my appreciation of what I have in life depends on someone else having less. Zero-sum thinking doesn't make for good politics either," he continues. "The idea that somebody must win and somebody must lose in every economic, legislative, or geopolitical transaction makes for a broken body politic and an anguished world," end quote. Fairness cast only in terms of winners and losers means that justice goes to the victor. Only to the victor. I started by saying that fairness looks very different if it's something that you are primarily interested in claiming for yourself versus if it is something that you are primarily interested in offering to others, particularly those without the power to claim for themselves. So we looked at the first half of that, self-interested fairness. Now let's look at the second half. What fairness or justice looks like when you are primarily interested in offering it to others, particularly those without the power to claim it for themselves. And as we look at that way of understanding justice, let's acknowledge that that is the kind of justice that God is interested in. That is the kind of justice that the Bible talks about. That is the kind of justice that today's psalm talks about. Give justice to the weak and the orphan. Maintain the right of the lowly and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. In the context of the psalm, these lines are presented as God speaking to the people, commanding them to give justice to others, to those who will not get it unless God's people give it. So if the people reading and speaking and singing the psalm intend to act on God's behalf, to identify with God's agenda, this is what they will do. They will give justice. And that word, that verb, give, is so important. The word isn't get, as in get justice for yourself. It's give. Give justice to the weak, the orphan, the lowly, the destitute. In other words, when we are truly thinking about justice, we are encouraged to ask ourselves, what does fairness look like, not only for me, not just for me, but for those who are trampled down, for those who have no means, no advantage, no power? And on that basis, justice isn't making sure no one undeservedly gets my share, no one takes a bite out of my piece of the pie. It's recognizing that everyone hungers. Everyone needs nourishment. And then thinking about how all might be fed, from the richest to the poorest, from the most powerful to the weakest, from the most secure to the most insecure, from the one who already has resources to the one who has none. From the advantaged to the disadvantaged. Deservedness then plays no part in the measure of what is or isn't fair. A person's humanness is enough to qualify them. And there's this. If my justice, if I think what is fair to me crushes your justice, then we need to go back to the drawing board. Now, the cynical mind, the political mind, the world isn't made that way mind might ask, how does that work? I mean, for somebody to gain, somebody has to lose, right? If you're going to have more, I'm going to have less. Less influence, less power, fewer resources, less security, fewer rights, less advantage, advantage of gender or nationality or race or whatever it is that puts me a step ahead in the system. What's fair for you is going to cost me. For you to get more of what you need, it has to be that way. I have to get less of what I need, and I don't like that. I call that unfair. Okay, that's the operating assumption for many people. Fair for you is unfair for me. More for you is less for me. But let me turn back to Peter Marty for a moment and some more of his thoughts on zero-sum living and what it means for those of us who believe in the God of the Bible, the God of justice. Marty writes, zero-sum thinking also doesn't make for good religion. When mixed with the gospel, it becomes highly problematic. For example, we fool ourselves, he says, when we entertain the notion that there is only so much love to go around. Or for our purposes today, we might say, only so much justice to go around, only so much fairness to go around. When I receive more love, is somebody else receiving less? If I share my $5,000 by giving four people $1,000 each and end up having only one-fifth of what I had to start with, zero-sum thinking would suggest that I'm now in a deficit situation. But love and generosity don't work this way. And we could say justice doesn't work this way. The world is not an inelastic, closed universe. To give is to receive. To shower others with blessing is to be blessed oneself, end quote. So the pivot point is this. Instead of thinking about getting justice, we think about giving justice. Because our God is not a God of getting. Our God is a God of giving. I want to share three short stories from the news recently. They were summarized in the Christian Century Century Marks at the end of this month. But if you receive my sermons by email or if you are on the podcast, I'll put the actual link so you can read the articles for yourself if you'd like to. But in each case, in each story, I want you to think about what justice looks like, what the giving of justice looks like. The giving of God's justice looks like justice for the weak, for the orphan, for the lowly, for the destitute. The first story is from CNN in early July. When several New York police officers on break were asked to confront a woman suspected of shoplifting in a Whole Foods store, she started to cry, and she said she was hungry. Instead of arresting her, the officers paid for her food. What is justice? What is the justice God would give? What is the kind of justice that God would have us give in a situation like that? This story from the New York Times from the end of June. Professional basketball player Maya Moore took a year off from the sport to help Jonathan Irons, an inmate she's convinced is innocent of the crime for which he is serving 50 years. She considers her mission to free Irons a call from God. Irons, an African American, was 16 when he was tried as an adult for an armed robbery and convicted by an all-white jury. That was more than 20 years ago. The crime was violent and involved a gun, but no weapon was found, no blood evidence, no footprints, no fingerprints tied him to the crime. He was in the neighborhood around the time the crime was committed, but has always denied his involvement. He says he was just in the wrong place. Maya Moore thinks his conviction is a consequence of a racist criminal justice system. Irons calls Moore a lifesaver who gives him hope. She is light, he says, pure light. What is justice? What is the justice God would give? What is the kind of justice that God would have us give in situations like that? And this story from the Atlantic magazine in July, when Dolly Lucio Sevier, a pediatrician, examined children in a detention center in southern Texas, she found signs of malnutrition, dehydration, and psychological trauma. She was not allowed to enter the area where over 1,000 migrant children were held. They were brought to her. There was no soap or showers for children. Babies were without diapers, and one baby was fed from the same unwashed bottle for days. By law, children can only be held for 72 hours in such a facility. Some of the children had been there for almost a month. What is justice? What is the justice God would give? What is the kind of justice that God would have us give in a situation like that? Maybe this is the question. What would happen to our perspective if we were to put ourselves in the shoes of the hungry, the prisoner, the child? What would happen if we no longer had the advantage or the power or the choice? What kind of justice would we cry out for then? If there is a measure by which God judges us, then it has to be this. How did we treat the widows and the orphans and the aliens among us? Did we feed the hungry, care for the sick, set free the captive? Did we give justice? I'm not suggesting that these are easy matters, weighing the interests of one group versus another, or one person versus another, figuring out how to be fair when the cost of helping one might hurt another. I'm not suggesting that these are easy matters, only that these are things that matter. And making the pivot from getting justice to giving justice puts us more closely into the company of God. God speaks in the psalm. God speaks to us in the psalm. Give justice to the weak and the orphan. Maintain the right of the lowly and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Give justice. Give it to those who can't get it. Give it to those who need it. Not because any deserve it more than any others, but because of the humanity we share and the God we believe in. God gives justice, yes. Our God gives justice to the weak and to the orphan. God gives justice when we give justice, when we pivot from our concern for getting it to a commitment to giving it. Amen.